Let's turn now in our Bibles to Psalm 63 for our scripture reading this morning. I'll read the first and the unnumbered verses. Pastor Brian will lead you as you read the even-numbered verses, and let's stand as we read the Word of God. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water.
To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary.
Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee.
Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name.
My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips.
When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches.
Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice.
My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me.
But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth.
They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes.
But the king shall rejoice in God, and every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are for this opportunity today to gather together as the church, your body, to seek you, to draw near to you. And thanking you, Lord, for that blessed assurance and promise that if we will just draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And so now, Lord, let there be that beautiful drawing near, our drawing near to you, your drawing near to us, as we turn to your word and allow your spirit, Lord, to work in our hearts through the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to the fourth chapter of James. And as was mentioned previously, tonight, Pastor Chuck will be taking the entire fourth chapter. We're going to look at verses 4 through 8 this morning, but specifically at the first portion of verse 8 to begin with. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Here we are given a wonderful invitation and a glorious promise. The invitation is to draw near to God. The promise is God will draw near to you. Now, if any one of us received a personal invitation from the president to visit the White House, or if perhaps the Queen of England personally invited us to dine with her and the royal family at Buckingham Palace, I'm sure that we would make every possible effort to comply with their request. Well, one greater than the president and the queen and all the great men and women of history combined has personally invited us to draw near. It's really an astounding thing when you think of it, that God, the one that we were singing about earlier, indescribable, uncontainable, and all of those wonderful things that were declared in that song and all the things that we know from the scripture about our great God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that this God would invite us to draw near to him, inviting us to draw near to him with the promise that if we do so, he will then draw near to us. And so that's what we want to consider today. We want to look at how it is that we can draw near to God. But before we look at how to draw near to God, we need to first of all consider some of the obstacles that we might face in our attempt to draw near. Now, in verses 4 through 8, there are three obstacles that are mentioned to drawing near to God. And so we want to look at those potential obstacles. Beginning in verse 4, look at what it says. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy with God, or the enemy of God. So, number one obstacle is the world, or more specifically, friendship with the world. Now, the question arises, when the Bible speaks of the world in this negative fashion, just exactly what is it referring to? What is the meaning of the world in this sense? And it's important for us to understand that. It is not the world of nature, necessarily, unless one worships nature. It is not even the world of culture. Culture referring to, say, music, art, literature, science, and things like that. It's not even necessarily that, unless, of course, one is given to worship the culture. It is not the world of humanity that is being spoken of, unless you worship humanity in some ideological sense. The world that James is warning us about can be summed up in the word godless. It is the philosophy that permeates the whole world that says, in essence, the less of God, the better. That is, I think, a good description of the system that is being referred to here when James and some of the other biblical writers are talking about the world in that negative sense. It is a system that is driven by fallen human passions, the desire for material possessions, and the lust for power and position. The Apostle John defines the world as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So that's the world that's being described here. Now, the obstacle is friendship with the world. So what is it to be a friend of the world? Well, it's to buy into the system. It's to live according to the philosophy of the system. Paul, in writing to the church in Rome, he said to the believers, he said, do not be conformed to this world. And this is what he's talking about, this system. Literally, he said, stop allowing the world, this godless system, to mold you into its image. And so that's what we're talking about. Friendship with the world is living to fulfill your passions, living to accumulate possessions, living to attain power and position. You cannot be a friend of the world and simultaneously draw near to God. You see, if I'm embracing the world, if I'm engaging in this system of the world in the sense that I'm buying into it, then that is going to be a huge and really an insurmountable obstacle to drawing near to God. So the world is a potential obstacle. Secondly, the devil is a potential obstacle. The second part of verse 7 says, resist the devil. The devil opposes our drawing near to God. You know, the last thing that Satan wants to see is a man or a woman drawing near to God. A man or a woman really deeply seeking communion with God and fellowship with God. The devil is radically opposed to that. And I would even say to some extent he's frightened by that, because he knows that a man or a woman genuinely drawing near to God, seeking to fulfill all the potential that God intends for them, the devil knows that this is a threat to his kingdom. This is something that's going to frustrate his agenda. So the devil can be an obstacle. He will tempt us. He will seek to discourage us. He will try to distract us. And of course, the devil works in concert with the world. He uses many of the things in the world to try to draw us away. He uses the circumstances sometimes of life to try to discourage us. He uses the things of the world to hopefully distract us. And you know, I think in some ways the devil is satisfied if he could simply distract us. Oh, of course, sometimes he will attempt to lead us off into serious sin through major temptation. Sometimes he will come and, sort of be behind the scenes with certain circumstances that could, crush us under the weight of the discouragement. But I think more often than not, just a little bit of distraction works just fine as far as he's concerned. So if he can just get us off preoccupied with things that just really don't matter, things that really have no eternal value whatsoever, he's happy with that. But not only is it the world and the devil that are potential obstacles, we also have the issue of the flesh. And I think in the second part of the eighth verse, that could be addressed there. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, it's interesting that out of all three of these potential obstacles, the flesh in some ways is the most insidious, because the flesh it resides in us. The problem is within. And we have those evil tendencies of the flesh that will seek to just sort of push us in the direction other than the direction that God would have us to go. Rather than drawing near to God, those evil tendencies of the flesh will seek to move us in the opposite direction of that. You remember Paul the Apostle spoke of that which I would not, that I do. And how many times do we find ourselves with the same experience? I don't want to do a particular thing. I know it's wrong. I know it's not helpful. I know it's not beneficial for my spiritual life. And I'm committed, I think, to, I'm not going to do this. But then I find that I do it again and again and again. It's that evil tendency of the flesh that resides in me. But not only the evil tendencies of the flesh, but also just the weaknesses of the flesh. Remember Jesus in the garden with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was going through that time of great spiritual distress before he went to the cross. And you remember he had that band of disciples with him, and he said to them, watch and pray. And he left them and went over a short distance from them. And there he was crying out to the Father. And we read in Luke's gospel that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And then we read that as Jesus would come back to just sort of, see those men that were with him, that on each occasion he found them in a deep sleep. And he would awaken them and say, wake up and pray lest you enter into temptation. And then he said this. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, how many times have we found that to be the case? You know, when I think of this invitation to draw near to God, there's something in that that's very attractive to me. I want to draw near to God. Oh, I think, Lord, yes, I can even, you know, sort of visualize in my mind that this experience of just, you know, rising up early and getting there before the Lord and opening His Word and crying out to Him and seeking Him in prayer. And yes, Lord, I want to do that. And oh, Lord, I'm looking forward to those intimate moments that we're going to have. And suddenly the alarm goes off and I'm like, oh, no, Lord, could we have, you know, 10 more minutes? Let me hit the snooze button. And then, Lord, I promise I'll be up and at it. And so I get the extra 10 minutes. But then the alarm goes off again, and I find myself wanting to get up, wanting to seek the Lord, wanting to have that communion with Him, but I find, oh, the flesh is so weak. The flesh is so weak. You see, these are the things that are real obstacles to the fulfillment of this invitation. So what do we do? Well, if I'm going to draw near to God, I've got to overcome these obstacles, and I can do so. Through the grace of God, I can reject the world. I can resist the devil, as we're told to do right here in the text, and I can refuse to allow the flesh to control me. God will give me the grace. He will supply me with the help that I need as I call upon Him. So although these are potential obstacles, they do not have to keep us back from entering in to the full blessing that God extends to us through this invitation. So looking now at the invitation again is to draw near to God. Now, there are prerequisites to drawing near to God. Our text tells us one. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. The first prerequisite to drawing near to God is obedience. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God is not going to hear my prayer. We know from that great statement in Isaiah 59 that God's ear is not heavy, that He cannot hear, His arm is not short, that He cannot save. But we're told there that our sins will separate us from our God. Our sins will keep us back from the blessing that God wants to pour out upon our lives. And so if we're going to draw near to the Lord, we've got to be walking in obedience. Now, in some ways, it doesn't seem like I would even have to go into much detail on that, but there are many people today who somehow have convinced themselves, I think, more accurately, deceive themselves into thinking that it doesn't really matter how I live or how I walk, I can still draw near to God. A person will come and they've got all kinds of issues in their life, all kinds of sin in their life, maybe all kinds of hatred and bitterness, and they'll come into the sanctuary and lift their hands in worship, but yet they're not really drawing near to God because of the sin issues. I heard of a person just this past couple of days who is living in an adulterous relationship, very open and very blatant about it. And when challenged by other believers, you know, what's going on? Their response was, I know God loves me and I know God wants me happy and this makes me happy. So everything's fine. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to keep, you know, worshiping God just like all of the rest of you. And just, you know, don't bother me with it anymore. Don't worry about it. Just presuming that they can continue to draw near to God. Not so. Not so. There is the prerequisite of obedience. We must be obedient. Secondly, we must have faith. For without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We're told in Hebrews 11:6. And so we've got to come with obedience. We've got to come in faith, believing that God has indeed extended the invitation, that God is indeed there to meet with us. But then practically, how do we draw near? What does this look like for us as Christians personally and individually? Well, we draw near, first of all, as we meditate on the Word of God. As we meditate on the Word of God. Now remember, the Bible refers to Jesus as the living Word. Remember, John says in the beginning, was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then he tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the living Word of God. The Scriptures are the written Word of God. And through the written Word of God, we come into communion and fellowship with the living Word of God. So as I open my Bible, as I meditate on the Word of God, I am drawing near to God. This is an opportunity to draw near to the Lord. And the Lord is promising that he will meet me in these places as I draw near to him. You know, sometimes with our Bibles, sometimes we can get caught up in kind of an academic approach to the Bible. You know, we're studying it because there's just so much information in there that we need to know for this, that, or the other thing. Sometimes we are reading our Bibles and meditating on them, not so much really meditating like we should, but we're doing it sort of out of duty. You know, we know that you're supposed to read the Bible, so I've got to get in my quota of scripture for the day, whatever that might be, and I come to it, and I'm kind of, you know, hurrying through it, and I'm, you know, thinking, okay, let me flip the page over here. Okay, I've got a couple more paragraphs, and then I'll be done, and, you know, and finally you finish that chapter. Whew, oh, all right, read my Bible today. But that's not what God is intending for us when we get into the Word. Rather, it's a time of meeting with the Lord. And so we're drawing near to God as we meditate on his Word. Of course, in prayer, we're drawing near to God. And that would be our second point. And what is prayer? Prayer is really, it's coming to God. It's coming to God with various requests. It's coming to God over different matters that we all go through in life. But what it is it is coming to God. So as I pray, as I seek to connect with the Lord and draw near to him, prayer is one of those ways in which that actually happens. As I'm praying, I am drawing near to the Lord. Praise and worship is another means of drawing near to God. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, and the picture there is really one of, as God's people, as their praise is lifted up to the Lord, the picture is the presence of God coming down and dwelling amongst us. Now, again, with praise and worship, we can have one of two different kinds of experiences. We can really take to heart what we're singing. We can think about it. We can say, yes, Lord, this is what I'm expressing to you right now. Or we can, as I have sometimes done, we can be singing the song. We can be singing it loudly. We got the words memorized. And then all of a sudden you find that my mind is a million miles from what I'm actually singing about. So, you know, just because we're singing and praising doesn't necessarily mean we're drawing near to God. But if we're doing it sincerely and genuinely and with the right heart and the right focus, then again, this is a way that we draw near to God. So what we do here, say, for example, this morning with the worship team and all that, that's not just sort of the preliminary warm-up, you know, just to kind of get everybody in the mood so, you know, the pastor can come up and teach. It is also a part of our time to draw near to God. But then, fourthly, in drawing near to God, there's something to be said about what we are actually doing here this morning and what we will do here tonight and what we will do many other times throughout the week, not just in this building, but in other facilities on the campus, but not just on the campus, but in homes and different places. There's something to be said about the fellowship of the saints. You see, when we come together collectively, when we come together to a place that has been dedicated to the worship of God and the honoring of Christ and his word, This is a place where we can expect to meet with God. This is an opportunity to draw near to God. Now, again, of course, you can go to church and end up not ever really drawing near to God. You're just sitting there. You're not really engaged in anything that's happening. You're just, as far as you can tell, you're just sitting in a building. But if you come with your heart right, this is a building that has been dedicated from its, you know, initial moment to the glory of God. This is a place where you can meet with the Lord. And many of you know that that is a reality because you've experienced it. In the Old Testament, this was what many of the saints looked forward to. As they thought about drawing near to God, they thought of it in the sense of the people of God coming together. And of course, then they would gather together to go to the tabernacle, maybe. They would gather together to go up to Jerusalem. They would gather together ultimately to go to the temple that would have been built. But there was this excitement, there was this anticipation, we're going to meet with God. Listen to what the psalmist said. We read this passage this morning, Psalm 63, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. You see, the psalmist said it was in the sanctuary I was looking for the Lord to see his power and his glory. Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood. So you see, the psalmist describes going into the sanctuary and there meeting with God, drawing near to God. Psalm 84, we sang this one this morning. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. Better is one day in your courts, as we were singing. You see, this was the expectation of the people of God historically, and this should be our expectation today. We come together as the body assembling in this building or other similar kinds of facilities, we come there to draw near to God. Now, I'm emphasizing this point because there is a movement afoot in the church today, ironically, that basically says, oh, you know, the way we've been doing church, you know, for the past few hundred years or whatever it is that they estimate that we've been doing it this way, oh, you know, it's all wrong. We don't need buildings. We don't need to go to a building. There's nothing special about a building. We can worship God anywhere. And some of them are actually saying that the day of the church as we've known it for so long, that day is passing, and you're going to find people moving away from buildings and structure. And we don't even need a pastor, they say. You know, I'll be my own pastor, and I'll have church at my own house, or I'll go down to the beach. I like the beach. I'll go down there and worship God. And, you know, maybe I'll do it out on the golf course or somewhere, you know. Surely the Lord's out on the golf course. But, you know, people with that mentality, here's what you need to know. They're not drawing their conclusions from the scripture. This is stuff they're just making up as they go. Because the scriptures talk to us about coming together. The scriptures talk about designated places where you can meet with God. Now, of course, you can meet God at any of those other places as well, but you can meet him here in a special way. Because this place and others like it have been dedicated to that very purpose. And when somebody says, oh, we don't need pastors, we don't need leadership, again, what do they do with the scriptures that tell us God has given some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ? We need to gather together. We need to assemble together. This is one of the ways that we draw near to God. So that's the invitation. Draw near to God. We can do it through the word. We can do it through prayer, through praise and worship. We do it as we gather together as a fellowship. But now here's the promise. And he will draw near to you. He will draw near to you. I believe that this is God's word for us today as a fellowship. As people, here we are, you know, we're in a new year. We're in, a lot of new things are going on all around us. A lot of new things in the world, a lot of new things in our country. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of distrust. And here we are today, we're gathered together. What, in light of all of these kinds of things, what would the Lord say to us? Well, I believe this is what he would say. Draw near to me. You see, that's the answer. Draw near to me. And his promise is, I will draw near to you. God will draw near to us. And as we take these means that we mentioned of drawing near to God, this is what we find. When we get into the Word, we find that God will draw near to us by giving us understanding, by giving us wisdom, by giving us direction, by giving us that sweet consolation that we might need in our hearts, or that hope or that encouragement or something. How many times has that been your experience? You've come to this place. You've come downcast. You've come confused. You've come burdened or concerned. And you sat, and as the word was delivered, you felt like you were the only person here. You felt like the sermon was handcrafted for you. That was the Lord meeting with you. I was talking to my oldest daughter last night. She was telling me about a conversation she was having with my younger daughter a couple of days ago. They both were here at the service last night, and as Michael was teaching, he was saying essentially the very same thing that my older daughter had said to my younger daughter, and my younger daughter turned to her and looked and said, can you believe that that's what he's talking about? You see, that's what happens. The Lord ministers through his word. And you know how it is. We open up the Bible. We're confused. We're distressed. We're burdened. We're fearful, or whatever the case might be. We open up the word, and there's God to speak to us. He's drawing near to us. We go to him in prayer, and what does he do? He answers our prayers. And as we receive the answer to those prayers, that is the confirmation that God is near, that he is drawn near. In praise and worship, how many times have we had that experience where, again, as we're just surrendering ourselves in praise and worship, God brings us his peace, he brings us his comfort, he brings us his joy, he brings us his assurance, his love, his presence. My wife was telling me that Wednesday, it was kind of chaotic day and chaotic early evening and all of that, to the point where she was wanting desperately to get to church, but wasn't looking like she was going to make it and all of this. And finally she broke away, and there were just a lot of things that were weighing on her heart. And she said when she came in, and as the worship team was leading, she said the Lord just gave her such a peace as she just sat there and was just really basking in the presence of God. That's what happens. You see, God meets us as we do that. And as we come, as we assemble together collectively, and as I said, through the teaching from the pulpit, through an exhortation that's given, through a prophetic word, through the gifts of the body. Have you ever had an experience where you come to church and somebody just comes up to you out of the blue and says, you know, I don't know why I'm going to tell you this, but I just feel like the Lord wants you to know. And then they tell you and you're astounded because that's exactly what I needed to hear. How did you know that? That's a word that's given. You see, those are all manifestations of God fulfilling his promise of drawing near to us. So the invitation has been given. The promise has been made. And now it's really up to us. It's really up to us. But would anybody in their right mind refuse this invitation? You know, going back to my little illustration at the beginning, you know, if you received a personal invitation from some great person, I mean, wouldn't you really do everything in your power to make sure you complied with that? You know, if there was that, you know, that handwritten invitation, I'd love to see you, you know, whether it be at the White House or the Palace or the Parliament or, you know, whatever. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be a person like that, but, you know, maybe some famous celebrity is, you know, they're having a special party for their new film or something like that, and you get a handwritten invitation. You're going to, whatever you've got planned, you're probably going to drop it and say, you know, I want to be there. But see, this is something so far beyond that, that comparison is weak, because this is God. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the God that is incomprehensible. And he is extending this invitation. Draw near to me. He's inviting us. Personal invitation. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. That is an invitation and a promise that I want to take seriously for this year, beginning this week, this month. Let us, in light of the invitation, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that this is not wishful hoping, but this is a real invitation from the living God to come close, to experience intimacy, to have you, Lord, speak into our lives, to have you, Lord, answer our prayers, to have you meet us with your presence, to have you, Lord, touch us in ways that only you can. And so, Lord, we know those obstacles are there. We know that they can potentially hold us back, the world, the flesh, the devil. But Lord, we know that the victory's ours. So help us, Lord, to reject the offer of the world, to resist the temptation of the devil, and to refuse to allow our flesh to control us. Help us, Lord, by your grace, through your Holy Spirit, help us, Lord, to draw near to you. Lord, help us to take the time in the word, in prayer, in worship, in fellowship, and help us, Lord, to do it often. Draw near to us, Lord. Thank you for your grace and this gracious invitation. In Jesus' name we bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. As you've noted, no doubt, the message today has been primarily addressed to those of us who know the Lord. But perhaps you've joined us today and you don't know him. This God that we're talking about, this God that speaks to us, this God that comforts us, this God that touches our lives. You maybe have heard about him from a friend, maybe some childhood memory, but yet you can't say that you know him. Well, he's inviting you as well. He's inviting you today to draw near. And Jesus said it in this way. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," he said, "I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." So there's that invitation. The Lord is knocking. And you're sensing that. There's been a frustration in your life, and there's this faint thing that's going on, and you're sensing that. That's the knocking. And if you are hearing that, and if you will respond to that, Jesus said, if you'll open the door, he will come in, talking about that communion, and he will dine with you. There will be that personal, intimate experience. That's what he wants you to have. So if that's you today, you want to receive Christ, the pastors are up front. They would love to lead you in a simple prayer to receive the Lord. Just make your way forward afterwards. For those of you that are already there with the Lord, but maybe you just need some prayer just to help you draw near, then again, the pastors would love to pray with you for that. May God bless you, and may he, by his grace, help us this week, today, tomorrow, the weeks, the months, and in the years to come to continue to draw near to him. And he promises he will draw near to us. God bless.